Blog Talk Radio.
Five or six verses. We're going to continue down the list
that we have, and hopefully get through more of them this afternoon than we did this morning. But, you know, Yah's going to have his way. Whatever he wants said, that's what's going to be said. So, you know, if we get through two more, that's what we do. Nevertheless, we are have the new moon service coming up on the 28th, which is 3 days from today. So that's going to be like Tuesday, I believe. Let's see. The 28th is Tuesday, so that's going to be the new moon service for July. We pray that, you know, you prepare yourself for that. What else we got coming up? Tomorrow, spiritual wellness, and I think that's about it besides the business meetings. So we're going to continue. You know, tomorrow we have to have a business meeting in the evening. We need to actually assign some of the, you know, assign some people to some positions so that we can put it on paperwork, so that I can go ahead and file with the Arizona Corporation Commission, and we can get that out of the way, and then we can work on the bylaws, start working on the bylaws. So I didn't want to file, you know, for the corporation without some of these offices being filled. So I'm going to ask you to, you know, volunteer for a position. Starting off, there probably won't be too much to do. We'll just have to go from there. All right, so let's go ahead and get this started. Let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah on today. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Yah. We just glorify you, Father, and we lift you up and magnify your name. We adore thee, O Father. We adore thee and we extol thee. We lift thee up, for truly you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. And you are worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise. There is none like you, O Elohim. There is none like you, O Yah. None like you. Hallelujah. And Father, we will not bow down and give a knee to another. We will not worship anybody else, but you and you alone. For you and you alone are Elohim. Hallelujah. And so we just thank you on this day for building a world, Father, that you are going to bring back into perfection. And if we are faithful to you, that you will allow us to share it with you. Hallelujah. And we just glorify you for it, Father, on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for being the perfect provider. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And for a scripture on tonight, let us go into the Bible. Hold on a minute. I rebooted my computer, forgot I did not bring up my Bible. Okay. We bring up the Bible here. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Actually, just do Jeremiah chapter 30. The book of Jeremiah chapter 30. And let me get my glasses. The word that came to Jeremiah from Yah, saying, thus speaketh Yah Elohim of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith Yah, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yah, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that Yah spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith Yah, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask you now and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands upon his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yah of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve Yah their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yah. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet. None shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith Yah, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith Yah, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up, that thou hast no healing medicine. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. They that spoil thee shall be spoiled, and all that prey upon thee will I give for prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Yah, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith Yah, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling place, and the city shall be built upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause them to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith Yah? And you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Behold, the whirlwind of Yah goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It will fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Yah shall not return until he have done it. and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days shall he consider it. May the Most High, in the latter days shall ye consider it. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us go to the sound of shofar.
Years and a land it is not ours.
book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Don't be worshiping false gods, practicing idolatry. And a lot of times, I think, you know, a lot of people practice idolatry and don't even know that they're doing it. They are, through pagan holidays and things like that, worshiping other gods and not really realizing it. Worshiping in all the feast days, the holidays that are not the Most High, causes them to practice idolatry. Okay, and so we're told to not be idolaters. So we have to be very careful about, you know, what we celebrate, what we participate in, and what we support. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this sounds like Paul to me, but, you know, Paul followed after Messiah. He is the lawyer for the New Testament, the changes in the law. And the Most High needed a lawyer when it came to making changes to the law. And so Paul is saying, look at his life. He got it from Messiah. And then he had to write it as Messiah wanted it written. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Be ye followers of me, this is Paul talking, even as I also am of Christ. So he's telling you to look at his life. Look at the changes that the Most High caused him to make. The changes in the law, the changes in, you know, understanding, the bringing of the commandments to our hearts and in our minds, understanding that we can't just, you know, it couldn't just be status quo, but we had to, you know, Paul really, you know, talks about a lot of procedure, a lot of how you should love, how you should proceed with disorderly saints. What is the actual, you know, functioning of the church? And I think that from the standpoint that, you know, it was understood we wouldn't be in our own lane. And so the body of Messiah is supposed to function and operate by a certain set of standards, but the world has made up their own. But Paul says, look at him, at his example, and follow after Messiah as he followed after Messiah. You know, and he was told that, hey, you're going to suffer for this gospel's sake because of your persecution of the church, because of you kicking against me. You're going to suffer for the saints' sake. But we're told, you know, that we are to suffer with Messiah, and that if we suffer with him, then we shall rule and reign with him. And you can get that out of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. Book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of Elohim as dear children. We, you know, the Most High wants us to come to him as his children. He wants us to convert and not be the servants, to be the children. And there's a difference between the children and the servants. You know, the servants, they follow orders. And they are obedient for pay sake, reward sake. You know, because you have different type of servants. You have, you know, your hired servants that you pay money, And in those days, they had servants that they owned. And their service was a little bit different for each one. Because I don't want you being a servant. I want you to come to me as my child and to depend on me like a child, like my child. And I'm going to provide for you like your parent. I'm going to make my wealth and make my resources available to you. And so all we got to do is believe that and count on him for it. So be ye followers of Elohim as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Genuine love. But love is not easy. Love is hard. It is demanding. It is long-suffering. It is merciful. It is kind. It is charitable. You know, so he wants us to have genuine love one for another, even to the point that we would be willing to lay down our lives one for another, just as he laid down his life for us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to Elohim for a sweet-smelling savor, a sweet smell in the nostrils of the Most High. It's the way he wants our service to be. And so he's telling us, you know, to be followers of Elohim as his children. And Elohim doesn't want fornicators for children. He don't want unclean people as children. He don't want anybody that's covetous for his children. He said, and let it not be once named among you. Not let you trip and fall and say, I'm sorry, but it happened. You're going to have to forgive me. He said, let it not be once named among you. If you're going to be sleeping with somebody, make sure you're in the proper relationship and not just dating, but that you have the proper relationship. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So he wants us, he tells us how he wants us to be and what he doesn't want us to be. But we are commanded to be followers of the Most High as children. And children are dependent upon their parents. We're supposed to be dependent upon the Most High. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 12. And I think we spent some time in this one before. That you be not slothful or lazy, followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, it's easy to get lazy with your faith. It's easy to get lazy with how you serve. But he says, don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. You should have a vigor about you, you know, according to your capabilities. We're not all the same ages. We don't all have the same physical capabilities. But whatever it is, you know, that's why he says, do it with joy. With a zeal. Have a zeal to do good. But don't be lazy or slothful. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Verse 13, for when Elohim made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. He swore on himself that he would do this. Say, surely, I will bless thee and multiply, plying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, we have to believe on the Most High and count on him that he is true and just to do what he says he's going to do. point blank. That's what Abraham believed. And that's what we have to do. We have to believe as his children. So, patiently and faithfully. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The law of be, how he wants us to what? Be. What he wants us to do. This will help us to become good disciples. And if we are able to master all these things, then we will be that disciple that the Most High is looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. You know, we have to move on from the milk to the meat. We can't always have that childlike understanding of the scriptures because we have to become doers. We can't always be learning. Howbeit, in malice be ye children. Malice, this word malice is like hatred. And let's get this definition for this. That is verse 20. That word in the Greek is kakia, in badness, be children. It says, but in, be not children in what? Understanding. But in being bad, be children. In depravity, be children. In malignity or trouble, be children. Maliciousness, in naughtiness, in wickedness. Don't be, you know, a grown-up at that. Don't be mature at it, in other words. Don't make it the way that you are, but in, as a child. But in understanding, be grown up so that you understand that doing the will of the Most High is what's important. Not doing what you want to do. That's not important. Doing wickedness. He don't want us doing wickedness. He said, be a child in that kind of stuff. You know, when an adolescent, a child, a 2 or 3 or 4 year old, you know, they're going to do some things and they're going to do it childlike. They may not understand totally what they're doing. And there's a certain innocence about it. And as you get older, you know, you start holding them, as they get older, then you start holding them more accountable. And in your understanding of him, his word, what he wants, he says, be ye grown up. And as far as doing wickedness, be what? A child. Don't intentionally walk around doing evil. If you do some evil, let it be out of what? Innocence, that you know, you didn't know you were doing evil. You were childlike. You were ignorant of it. But in understanding, be a grown person.
And unlawful act for a cause harm.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. All right. So let's continue. So you want to be a child in doing wickedness. You don't want to be you don't want to do wickedness as a what? Grown person? With understanding and what you're doing, and you're going to still do it. And you're going to do it with such a degree of intent and hatefulness that you hurt, intensely hurt people. So I want you to be childlike when it comes to that kind of stuff. But in your understanding, be what? Be men, be grown. That's what he's saying. To chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to get verse 58. We'll start in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What does this word steadfast mean? Should be something like sturdy. Let's look that word up. Steadfast.
Could it be back unmovable?
It could be unmovable. Immovable, unmovable, settled. Sturdy, solid. So, be you unmovable. So in this case, they got unmovable behind that, right? So probably we want to use another word for steadfast there. So steadfast can mean immovable. That's the same thing you're saying, what, unmovable? Let's just say settled.
Planted.
Say that again.
Secured,
yes. Always abounding in the work of Yah. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in Yah. The labor that you do for the Most High is not in what?
Vain.
It's not in vain. It's not for nothing. You will be rewarded. And he says, every man's going to be judged according to their what? Work. If your works are of to do his, what he wants you to be done, what he wants you to do and what he wants to be done, then you can't do nothing but come out on top. So you want to be unmovable. You want to be always abounding or growing to do the Most High's work. As you know to do, you ought to what? Do. Can't do what you don't know to do. But that you know to do, you ought to do. So to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And we're going to get verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. So we are to be what? Strong in the Most High. It says, be strong in Yah, in the power of his might. Not in your might. With the Most High, says all things are possible with him. You can do anything through him. But it's not your strength that's getting it done. It's not your might that's getting it done. It's whose? It's his. Amen. So be strong in him. Let all your things be done with charity. Ephesians chapter 6. See if it says it a little bit different way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse what we just said. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah and in the power of his might. We never count on our own strength, but we count on the strength of who? The Most High. Then anything is possible. But there's nothing too hard for him. Let's also get 2 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 1. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Yeshua HaMashiach. Be strong in that grace. Understand that the Most High is, we're in a grace period right now. In that he's not what? Judging right away? It's not coming as soon as we do something wrong. Because if it was, probably none of us would be here. Second Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to get verse 11. Finally, brother, farewell. Be perfect. Now, the Most High tells us to be perfect as well, right? Be ye perfect, for I am what? Perfect. Be perfect and be of good comfort. Comfort each other. Comfort those that need to be comforted. Don't always be so quick to condemn or tear people down. If they are in emotional distress, be of a good comfort to them. We read this on this morning. Be of what kind of mind?
One mind.
One mind. One mind. Be of the same mind. We can't be going different ways. We can't be having different understandings. Can't be on different missions. Live in peace. And the Elohim of love and peace shall be with you. The scripture says, seek peace and pursue it. I mean, this is something that is ongoing. You seek peace with your brother and your sister and you what? Pursue it. Try to always be peaceful. Try to always live in peace. If I'm looking out for your welfare and you're looking out for mine, then hopefully you're not going to get mad about that. You know, hopefully we be what? Appreciative of each other. That I thought about you and I'm appreciative that you thought about me. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You know, there's some brothers that I've seen brothers like be so jealous if another brother come up and give their wife a hug or not a kiss, a mouth kiss, but like a kiss on the cheek or whatever as a friendly gesture. But some of us are so insecure that, you know, we don't trust our woman. You know, and it really comes down to, do you trust your woman or your mate? But, you know, you can't be genuine friends and give a genuine hug of affection and not trying to, you know, pop a feel or anything like that. And that's a shame because, you know, if that's the first thing and the only thing on your mind, then you really got problems. If every thought that you have any time that you touch another person is taking your mind someplace that's sexual, you got a problem. It says greet each other with a holy kiss. That's not a tongue kiss. So be of a comfort. Be of one mind. Go to 2 Corinthians. We just came from 2 Corinthians 13 and 11. Just go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. As he said, be one-minded. Fulfill you my joy that you be what? Like-minded. Of one mind, like-minded. That we're on the same page. That we are agreeing in the same thing. Having the same love. Being of one accord, of one mind. Be of one mind. So when we have issues when we are of a different mind. We have issues when we want to have our own understandings separate and apart to ourselves and they don't line up. Then that's when you really need to be what, by yourself? Because you're going to be a detriment to anything else. We say we want to build housing. You're like, no, we need an apartment building. Or no, we need a trailer. You got to be on the same page. We need to live by the statute, laws, and commandments of the Most High. No, I think the laws of the land, good enough. We need to be of one mind. On the same accord. Praying for the same thing, looking to fulfill the same thing, looking to accomplish the same thing. First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. And verse 8. Just saying the same thing. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. What is a railing? Anybody know what that word is?
But it seems like argument.
Yep. Slanderous. You know, talking bad about someone. So I say something bad about you, you turn around and say something bad about me. That's railing for railing. Accusation, accusing someone of something. Just, you know, negative, and you may not even know if it's true or not. You just want to what? Accuse them of something to get at them?
Yeah.
He said, don't do that. Don't be that way. But contrary-wise, blessing. Rather than railing against each other, bless each other. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a what? Blessing. You know, a lot of people don't understand what comes out of the mouth is what manifests. If you're always talking negative, what's going to manifest? Negative. Right. So it's going to always manifest. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Guile is bitterness. Let him hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace and what? Ensue it, pursue it. We got to be of one mind. If we are of one mind, if we are on, you know, the same page, if you say something to offend me, then I shouldn't come back at you with something to offend you. Maybe you said it and you didn't even know you offended me. You wasn't trying to offend me. You were trying to be helpful. But because I'm of the mindset, if I'm of the mindset, a worldly and carnal mindset, I might, my first thing might be to come back, what, against you? You're like, why did you answer me that way? Why did you respond to me like that? I wasn't trying to hurt you. Well, you offended me, but I wasn't trying to offend you. But if we are the same mind and we're seeking peace, then our first thing is not going to be to come back after our brother or our sister that way. It's going to be to say, hey, what did you mean by what you just said? You know. I meant this. Oh, okay, I misunderstood. I thought you were, you know, I was about to be offended. And I thought you were coming at me from this angle. No, brother, that's not how it was coming. So we're to seek peace always and what? Pursue it. And sometimes people might take that as you being, what, soft? You being easy? They might take your love and kindness as weakness. But then there comes a point where you can let them know, hey, I'm not weak. I'm trying to what? Seek peace and pursue it. I'm trying to get you to be of the same mindset. But if you can't do that, then let me meet you where you're at. Put your dukes up. And I'm just playing. Be peaceful. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17. This is the when the Most High filled me with his spirit. This is the verses that he gave me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith Yah, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing. Because he says no unclean person is going to enter into his kingdom. Be separated from it. If you know people doing unclean things, you shouldn't be running with them. You shouldn't be keeping company, because typically we're running with them. That means that we sort of have an interest in doing it too. Most of the time we ain't running with them to convert them. We're running with them because, you know what, I find that amusing, or I'm not going to participate, but I ain't going to stop you. Because I sort of got an interest in that thing. But he says, be ye separated and touch not the unclean thing. That goes to his dietary laws. That goes to his cleanliness laws as far as bodily. It goes to emotionally, spiritually. It encompasses everything, every way that he defines cleanliness. That's not the unclean thing, and he will receive you. So we're commanded to be separated from it. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And actually, let's get start in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. When you were worldly and you were in the world and you were doing those things and had the mindset of the world. The world is all about being physical, all about lust, all about whether it's lust of somebody, lust of something. It's all about lust and pleasure. You're supposed to put that off, that conversation. Put off the former conversation of the old man. That's that old you, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renew your mind. That's not who I am anymore. You got people out there that all they think about all day long, every day, is who they can be with. And some of them, it's a different person every day. Whoever they see. They get up in the morning. Thinking about if they're going to get some today. They don't care where it comes from, who it is, their thoughts. And when we come to Messiah, we got to put those things away. Now, if you're married and you're in that relationship like that, by all means, go for it. If you're not married, that can't be your every thought every day. And a lot of us are consumed by loneliness. I remember being in the church and a lot of the young ladies couldn't even brush against them accidentally. They start having earthquakes in diverse places. And would tell you. Like, sister, no. We can't go there. Well, I've been alone for so long. I understand. I'm human, too. I understand. I get it. But you can't let it go there, or else it'll just be running rampant through the camp. You know, my pastor used to say, hey, if you're going to do something like that, go outside the church and do it. At least they're doing it out there. Don't bring it here. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we're all human. We all have wants and needs and desires. But you got to also be in control of those things. And if it was, you know, if that was your nature in the world, when you come into the body, you got to change that. You got to have a renewing of your mind, a renewing of your spirit. You got to put that old man away. And there's a lot, you know, I'll just speak truth to it. There's a lot of brothers that come into the church because they know there's a lot of women in the church. And they know there's not a whole lot of men. But they are, a lot of them are just wolves in what? Sheep's clothing. Hopefully, before they can get too busy, the Most High converts them. And what they intended to come for, they don't get to do. But there's a lot of them that don't ever get converted. But you got women in the same boat. So we're to have put off that former person, that old man, that old sinful, lustful man, and be renewed in our mind and in our heart, in our spirit. Now, that's not the only thing and the first thing that we think about, that we don't let that get to the point that it consumes us. To drop down to verse 26. Well, let's just read through to verse 26. And that you put on the new man, which after Elohim is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. You're only as good as your word. If your word is no good, you're no good. If everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie, then you are a liar. If everything that comes out of your mouth is whatever, that's what whatever comes out of your mouth, that's what you're going to be. He said, let it be holy. Let it be truthful. Let it not be a lie. You know, worst thing in the world is a liar. Because then you don't know what to believe coming out of their mouth. They could be telling you the truth about something, but if you know that they lied before, you're most likely not to believe them. They have no credibility. They have no integrity. So don't lie one to another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. You get angry with somebody, try to get over it, what, before the sun goes down? Try to reconcile with them before the sun goes down, especially if you're married. Don't take that stuff to bed with you. So you have to work at what, letting it go, reconciling, pursuing peace. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him that labor working with his hand work with his hand. That the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. We're not working for somebody else today. We're usually working for what, ourselves, what we need, what we want. But it's rare when you see somebody working that they may give to someone else. Thank you. So be angry and sin not. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. and grieve not the Holy Spirit of Elohim, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption, sealed by his Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, look up this word clamor, clamor, the Greek word Craig, K-R-A-U-G-E, Kroge, Kroge is how it's pronounced, Kroge. An outcry, in notification, tumult or grief, clamor, crying. So, crying out in bitterness, crying out in grief. That all bitterness, wrath, anger, crying out in grief and evil speaking, be put away from you. Put this away with what? Malice, with prejudice, things away. Put away bitterness with prejudice. Put away wrath with prejudice. Meaning that you know, you trying hard with an intent to what? Stop this. Putting it away from you. Doing it with some strength. Because see, when you prejudice against something, you going out of your way to try to what? Do harm to it, to hurt it. In this case, he's saying use that same type of spirit towards stopping wickedness, towards stopping being bitter, towards stopping being, you know, being wrathful, being angry, crying out in grief, or speaking evil. Put it away from you with all malice, with prejudice. And be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as Elohim for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So we have to forgive one another for our offenses until a brother or a sister shows that, you know, that they are just really not going to stop. Then he says, after the second admonition, the second offense, not like them hitting you. So, you know, we want to be forgiving, but you know, the person that we're forgiving also needs to be what? Repentant. They need to be of the same mind. Let's continue. Let's drop down to sort of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's get verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. We talked about this one before, but be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You know, getting drunk to fulfill the lust of the flesh, to make us feel a certain way physically and emotionally. But be drunk off of what? Be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. And there's no high like the Most High. There's no high like being filled with his Spirit and him operating through you. There's just no high like it. And I've been high off some stuff. There's no high like that, no hangover. You feel good about everything. Feel good about yourself. Feel good about what you're doing. You're emotionally and spiritually clean. Physically clean. Being high off his spirit. Being filled by his spirit. There's no joy like that. Alcohol, weed, you know, pharmaceuticals, they alter your mind, and they might make you relax you. But in the high that they give you, whether it's, you know, you like feeling dizzy, you like that buzz feeling, you like, if you know, if they make you feel giddy, whatever it is that you're looking for in it, there's nothing like being high off the Most High. Trust me when I say that. So I have no desire for any of that stuff. Does nothing for me. Used to live to get high off of weed. One time, you know, when I was coming out of my first marriage, I was drinking myself into a stupor. I'm talking about literally drinking almost a case of beer by myself a night. By my lonesome. And getting that, you know, that drunk. But none of that stuff is satisfying. None of it is fulfilling. And it you know, makes you say and do things that you regret or can regret. Gives you that false sense of security. Gives you that I don't give a damn feeling. So I'm going to say what I want to say. No matter who you might offend. And then, as you're hugging the toilet, throwing up and all that mess, you know, to be going through all that, waking up, you know, feeling bad, having a hangover, is not even worth all of that. But, you know, when you are high off the Most High, it's just nothing that compares to it. And it's much better to be addicted to him than to be addicted to any of that other stuff. Trust that, for real. So be filled with the Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, we've already talked about this. Be of one accord. We've already talked about that. Here's one. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's get verse 12. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You're supposed to be an example of what a believer is, a true believer. Be an example of what the word says. Let your conversation be an example of what's in the word. In giving, be an example of what the word says as far as you being charitable and giving and loving. Be an example of what it means to be in the spirit. Be an example of what it means to have faith and to be faithful. Be an example in being pure. Each one of us are supposed to be setting an example, especially to non-believers. We're supposed to be like this toward each other, but when non-believers see us, And this is what they see, as that's the example that you're putting on. That's who you're being. That's the example you're setting. They can't have anything negative to say. The first time they see it, they might say, oh, you think you're Miss Goody Two-Shoes, or you're Mr. Goody Two-Shoes, you're Mr. Bible Thumper, you're this or that. But if you are that living example, that example, then they soon learn that that is who you are and that you're being true to your word. They don't see you saying you're this, hear you saying that you're this, and then see you being another way. So your word and your actions match up. There's nothing worse than controversy or hypocrisy. Saying one thing and doing another. But if you're being the example of all these things, then they can have nothing bad. Only they can have something malicious to say, because they're just doing it out of hatefulness. Truth, they know that you are being true to your word. We have to set the example. Can't run around, you know, high, and people see that you're high, and then, you know, try to talk about living a holy life. People are going to automatically see that, hey, we do that stuff. You have to be different. Can't be running around drunk and then saying that, you know, you're trying to be holy, you're trying to be Christ-like. Because then people are going to say, that's what we do. They expect you to be better. And you should be better in conversation, in your words. If you're still acting like you did before you came to Messiah, there is something seriously wrong. If you've not made any change at all, there's something seriously wrong. If you're still doing the same thing, there is something seriously wrong. Then are you a follower in word only? Let's continue. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Any questions so far on anything that we've read? Any of these B's? Anybody got anything they want to say, want to add?
I don't have anything.
All right, amen.
No, I'm good.
All right, amen.
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right, amen. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, our Master, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of Elohim. When you are really truly living this life, people, you know, family, friends, everybody, they're not going to agree with you. It's not their way. And if you're telling them to change, they don't want to hear it.
You're right.
They just want to be what they're being. Let me live my life. You live yours. Ain't got to care for where they end up at. But the truth of the matter is,
I was told with that.
You gotta, you know, take it and keep what? Suffering?
Yeah.
They're gonna come against you. They're going to chastise you. They are going to afflict you. They're going to say things about you. If the people in your life aren't living relatively holy lives, and you are, and you're trying to get them to live that way, trust me, you're not going to get along. You are unevenly what? Yoked. And they're going to see you as, you know, Mr. Goody-Goody or Mrs. Goody-Goody. And you're just trying to rain on my parade. Or if you're older, what they're going to say is, oh, you already done all your dirt. Now you don't want me to do mine. All kind of things. So you have to be willing to suffer with it. Go through those afflictions. You know, if you're still doing the same thing you were doing when you were 20, still in the same mindset, then there's something wrong there. You haven't grown in the Word of the Most High. Where are we at? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And get verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us, in themselves likewise with the same mind. Said you have to be willing to suffer with him if you want to rule with him. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When you are putting this flesh up under subjection, it's not easy being lonely. It's not easy abstaining when you're used to doing. You can put it out of your mind. You can put it away. But every now and again, it's going to creep in. Every now and again, somebody's going to say something to you or come on to you or do whatever. And nobody really wants to what, live alone. Especially the longer we live, and if we're in good health or relatively healthy, then we're going to suffer some things, especially if you're trying to do right. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of Elohim. Focus of your life has to change. From self, number one, to other people, number two, to the Most High. Really opposite. The focus should first be on the Most High and then to other people. But he says, how are you going to say you love me, whom you cannot see, and cannot love your brother, who you what? Can see. So you start with your brother or your sister, and you suffer the things with them. You put away the lust of the flesh. Verse 3, for the time past our life may suffice us to have wrought or done the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. Think, you know, sex on the brain, that's lasciviousness. You see something, it looks like a sex organ. I don't care what it is. It's a cloud. Ooh, that looks like. It's a tree. Ooh, that looks like. It's a mountain. Ooh, that looks like. Just got it on the brain. Somebody say something. You think they said something sexual. That's what your brain heard. That's what that spirit of lasciviousness does. Lust. Excess of wine. Reviling or reveling. That's like partying. Banqueting. Again, like partying. And abominable idolatry. See, he says these are the things that the Gentiles do. When we were young, we couldn't wait to go out to the club. Somebody was having a dinner. We want to be there. Let's get dressed up and let's go. We're going to eat, drink, and be merry. We're going to mix with the crowd. Those are the Gentile ways. And that's what we were taught. Have the company dinner. A lot of things that we're taught, we don't realize that they can be contrary to the ways of the Most High. So let's look up this word, reveling. Let's see, is it in Webster's dictionary, at least in mine? We'll look at what the Greek word stands for first. But I believe this is like partying, you know, just partying, party animal. Let me look it up in the Greek. Reveling. Carousal, as if letting loose. Rioting. Look up this word, carousal. Why are none of these words in my dictionary? Okay, let me look this one up on the internet then. I think the banqueting will speak toward the partying in that. I'll select the text. Let's go to the internet real quick. Carousal, wild, drunken party or celebration. I thought that's what that meant. A drunken revel. Carouse entry sense. The general was remarkably addicted to huge entertainment and rather carousal. So this word means to be, you know, to be wild and party, a party animal. Love the party or celebrate. And then banqueting has to do with what? Eating. So that word in the Greek is potos. A drinking about carousal. Banqueting. That means, you know, partying, eating and drinking and being wild. You never know what that turns into. And a lot of us live for that, not understanding that it's not the way of the Most High, not the way that he says that we as the saints should live. Abominable, I think we all know what that means. Illegal, by implication, unlawful, abominable. So he says, this was the ways of the Gentiles, not the way of, supposed to be the way of the saints. This is the way of the nations. You know, we grow up doing a lot of things. We think that it's the norm, and it's fun, and we learn to love it. We enjoy it, only to find out that it's not the way of the Most High. And that's just the way it is. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know, you stop doing that stuff if your family, your friends are into that and you stop. They wonder what's wrong with you. And if you say, well, I'm no longer into that, then they start, you know, behind your back or sometimes even to your face, talking bad about you. And we're afraid of what they're going to think about us, what they're going to say about us. Are we, you know, being anti or contrary to family, contrary to friends? So that's what they are about. But these were the ways of the world, in other words. And if you are, you know, living for that, then there's no way that you can live for Messiah, because they don't mix. Serve them both. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? You know, when they start judging you for those things because you're no longer doing them, they're really heaping coals upon their own head, because they got to answer to Messiah when they meet him for those same, you know, remarks against you. Trying to speak evil of you because you're not doing those things anymore. Not living for that. You know, they have people that make big deals about, you know, a formal dinner, a dinner party, and the party afterwards. And people get wild, they get drunk, you know, some people leave and go home. But he said, hey, that's not our way. Let's continue. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4. Okay. Let us go to Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. And let's get verse 24. And it's talking about Messiah and how he behaved. So let's start in verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. You know, all of our foundation says that, hey, if we don't pursue this with our whole heart, with everything that we are, if we don't put him first, to become like him. He was our example. Then he says, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my follower. And those are hard words, because we're taught so many other different things and different ways to be, and things that we, you know, aspire to become, to be the best at. Only to find out that in the word of the Most High, it is not Christ-like. And so we are supposed to be aspiring to become like him. And he says, and if we don't give it our all, we can't be it. Who did no sin, we're trying to become like him. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When they said something bad about him, he didn't come back at them. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, lawfulness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So Messiah came and died so that we could come back to the Most High and live righteous lives like he lived, who committed no sin, who didn't live a riotous life, who didn't live the party, to get drunk and to get high. Even though he drank wine, he didn't live to get drunk or to get high. He didn't live to chase women or to have sex. He didn't live to covet, you know, what other men had, or try to achieve some status that men had. Satan came in and tried to tempt him with those things. Wasn't that he didn't think about him? Hey, I'm a king, but I'm not living like a king. I came as a servant. Could you imagine some of the things that went through his mind? Y'all wait until I come back. Especially those of y'all who want to talk bad about me. You don't know who you're talking bad about, but I didn't come here to condemn you. I didn't come here to judge you. Well, say that stuff when I get back, though. So we think, you know, he's going to be kind and gentle. He's not going to be that. He says, you disagreed with me. You didn't want to place yourself up under my rulership. Now, here's what you get. So, you know, it had to be hard. But he had to be faithful. He had to endure to the end. And he tells us that we are to endure to the end, that we are to be faithful. We are to become like him. You can't use this excuse. Well, he was God, or he was perfect, and we can't be perfect. He said, be ye perfect. Better stop trying not to be. Stop making excuses for not pursuing it. Seriously pursuing it with your whole heart, your whole mind. Putting all your energy into it. I think the truth of the matter is most of us don't even want to try that hard to be perfect. We think it's something that we cannot obtain. Therefore, so we don't even try. And in a lot of instances, get mad at other people for trying. But we can't be that way. Can't be of that mindset. Messiah was our example. He blazed the trail. And he's really saying, if I can do it, you can do it. You just got to be committed to it. You know, it's funny, it's strange how we can pour so much energy into our job, into, you know, our labor for somebody else. And a lot of the times, it's for our self-esteem. We want to feel a certain way. We want to accomplish a certain thing. We want to be known for a certain thing. We want to get paid for it, of course. But we pour all that energy and time into being the employee of the month, of the quarter, of the year. To look good in front of men, but when it comes to the Most High, we don't want to put the effort in. I guess because we're not getting that pat on the back. We're not being recognized by our fellow brothers or sisters. Maybe there's no monetary reward in it for us. Whatever the case may be, we will do it for men, but we won't do it for the Most High. And that truly, seriously has to, you know, that mentality has to go out the window. As he says, I want you off. It means that. Let's see, where are we? Let's go to, lose my place on this page. Where my glasses at? B. Let's go to, we're in 1 Peter, chapter 2. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 8. Book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Master, our Lord, our Savior, nor of me, his prisoner. I think we already did this one. Disregard. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. And the servant of Yah must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Those that oppose themselves, if Elohim peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Notice what it says, if Elohim will give it to them. Elohim has to draw you. He has to call you. He has to draw you. He has to give you a heart to repent. He has to put it within you. There's very little that's left up to each one of us. But we have to have the mindset, and we have the Most High to give us the mindset to do this stuff. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Not at your will. The devil takes people captive at whose will? Help me out here.
Will.
His will. Meaning that he come and just take you captive when he what gets ready? Because we are weak. We fall. He knows what devices to use, and we're supposed to be what? Wise of his devices? But we usually fall. We usually fall prey to him. Takes you captive at his will. But if you are, if the Most High has put it in you, then you can resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, what does it say? What will he do?
He'll flee.
He'll flee. You'll run. So you got to resist him. You got to be of the mindset that you can resist him. If not, he's going to take you captive whenever he wants to take you captive, because he knows what to put in front of you. He knows what will make you trip and stumble and fall. That's what he does. What does that song say? It's a word in that song. What's the song? The devil learns from your mistakes, even when you don't. That's powerful. He learns from your mistakes about you. Even when, if you don't learn, he does. And he uses those things, what? To take you captive. Ever find yourself doing the same thing over and over and over again, even if you're trying to stop, you just can't seem to stop? Same temptation. Same trial come up over and over and over again. But the enemy knows. Yep, I got you right here. Let's stop here for now. The law be. And there are so many things that we're told to be. Ways to be. Ways to think. Things to do. Things not to do. Because you really have to put yourself all into this. Or you'll say, well, I can do some of this, but all this, it just needs to become part of your DNA, just the way you are. It needs to be your first thought. And the only way you're going to do that is to practice, to be a doer of it. Let's go to one place, one other place, and then we'll call it a night. Because I feel myself dragging. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, let's get verse 22. This is what it really boils down to. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Be a doer of the word, and not just a hearer. Deceiving your own selves. When we are hearers of the word, and we don't do it, and we profess that we are in the word, and we really are deceiving ourselves. The Most High ain't looking for those who hear and don't do. He's looking for those that hear and what? Do. And not try to do, but do. Because if I told you all right now, if I said, get a pencil and a piece of paper and try to write your name, how many of us think we could do that? Nobody? It ain't a trick question.
All of us. I was trying to get out of mute.
Oh, okay.
All of us should be able to.
All of us should be able to get a piece of paper and what, write our name?
Yes.
Yes.
But if we wrote it, did we try to do it or did we do it?
We did it.
We did it.
That's what he's looking for. Doers. Not try. Because it really comes down to you either do or you don't. He's looking for doers. Hearers of the word, believer of the word, and then doers of the word. His word, that's what he's looking for. Does everybody understand the law of B?
Yes.
Yeah.
Be whatever the Most High says he wants you to what?
To be.
And it is not a suggestion. None of this stuff that we have read is a suggestion. Have we read the word, I suggest that you do this?
No.
It would be good if you did, but if you can't, that's okay?
No.
No.
You don't read nothing like that, do we?
Mm-mm.
No.
These are not suggestions. And a lot of people take these as suggestions. You know, this is the way he said I should be, but I don't have to be this way. No, he's telling you, you have to be this way. You want to belong to him, you have to be this way. Be. No should, no try. Be. And there are more laws. There's only 613 laws, Torah, and probably about only 612, because some of those things that they mentioned, a couple of them, like, I don't really think that's a law, but they made it one, like, don't mix what, milk and beef or milk and meat? They made that a law, but, you know, Abraham fed the Most High meat and milk. If it was a law not to do it, I don't think the Most High would have taken it and ate it. So some things I'm like, that's questionable. But in the New Testament, there are 1,050 laws.
1,050.
But the church says they're not up under the what? Law? But there's more laws in the New Testament than there are ever was in the Old. Clarification of those in the Old. And he's really calling to question everybody's what? Moral character. Are you a good person or are you evil? And being kind of good is just that, being kind of good. That means you're also kind of what?
Evil.
Right. That don't work. So let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you. Father, we thank you for your word on this evening. We thank you for your law of being. And we are to be whatever it is that you want us to be. We are to come to the fulfillment of all the things that you want us to be, that we are to work on it daily, Father.
Yeah.
To help us to become more like Messiah, to be more like Christ, your power and your wisdom unto salvation, that we would achieve salvation, that we would win the race, that we would complete the mission. Father, so help us. Help us in this endeavor, Father, for we are weak. So we can do all things through you. So we know all things are possible by you, Father, and it is by your strength and by your might and by your power, by your spirit, that we will achieve all these things. Father, forsake us not. But always be with us.
Yes.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. So tomorrow morning we will do spiritual wellness, and then tomorrow evening we will have a quick business meeting. I think it'll be quick. Maybe not. We need to look into some bylaws. We need to actually assign some officers and then look into the bylaws. So we need to take an official vote, assign some positions, take an official vote, and then look and start on the bylaws. I'm trying to break them up, break the bylaws up into sections so they're easier to digest. Because when you look at I think it was 125 pages of bylaws. You know, it's a lot to digest. So trying to go through and separate it and break it out so that it's easier to digest. Take it section by section and, you know, let us go through and edit what we need to edit and discuss those areas that, you know, we feel like are relevant to us and throw out those things that we don't believe are going to be relevant to us or some things I want to leave in there for a future date so that just so it's already in place, even though we won't be doing it right away, eventually, whether it's us or the next group that comes along, however that works out, it's in place. You know, they won't have to reinvent the wheel. It'll be there. And then we need to decide on those things that are going to be, what, perpetual and immutable. Perpetual, meaning that this goes on forever, and immutable, you can't change these things. Okay. Can't change them. So no matter who it is, the body or whoever, it is the intent of the original body that, you know, things be this way. And we might say you can add to it, but you can never take away these things. So it's like the Constitution. They can make what amendments to the Constitution and add to, but you don't ever see them taken away. So as to what? Society changed, they sort of amend the Constitution. I mean, if the Constitution stayed the way it was and it was not amendable, we would still be slaves. Because up under the Constitution, we were slaves. And if that was never, you know, changed, then we would continue to be slaves according to the Constitution, or we would be owned by what, private slave owners? Truth of the matter is we still are slaves in the eyes of the law. They just changed the owner from the private owner to the federal government.
Yeah.
If that, you know, if we really wanted to know the truth. So we want to make it where, you know, it's going to really need to be something that, you know, the Most High would have to come and say, hey, no, you know, they had good intent when they did that, but that ain't it. And that would be for a future generation. But other than that, we want to make it to where it's immutable. It's not changeable. So we need to start working on those things. But after tomorrow meeting, then I will go ahead and file the paperwork with the Corporation Commission and, you know, officially set up the company for the nonprofit for Yeshurun Farms. Then we can move forward, start doing the research for, you know, different grants, try to get access to the grant databases and things like that. And where we can get money, we'll get the money. Where we can't, then we have to figure out another way. Just that simple. All right, so that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encampus angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. And I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Be blessed. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
All right.
Shalom.
Shalom. Let's roll the theme music.
That's not it.
That's two times today. I played the same song, the wrong one.
Yep.
Let me put my glasses on. Maybe I need to play that one. Maybe. It's not going to be right now, though.
Everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign.
Brother Bob.
All right, see you guys in the morning.
Okay, right. Shalom, Sister Denise. Shalom.